A terrific meeting, said Trump. A great meeting, said Zelensky. They met for 2.5 hours at the US president's residence in Florida after 1,404 days of war started by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. They said progress had been made, but didn't say what exactly. Volodymyr Zelensky said any deal on land could have to be put to a referendum.
And we discussed all the aspects of the peace framework, which includes, and we have great achievements, 20-point peace plan, 90% agreed, and US-Ukraine security guarantees, 100% agreed. US-Europe-Ukraine security guarantees, almost agreed. Military dimension, 100% agreed. Prosperity plan being finalized, and we also discussed the sequencing of the following actions. And we agree that security guarantees is a key milestone in achieving lasting peace, and our teams will continue working on all aspects. We also had a joint productive call with European leaders, like President Trump said already, and a lot of leaders, including NATO and EU. And we agreed that our teams will meet in upcoming weeks to finalize all discussed matters. And we agreed with President Trump that he will host us, and maybe in Washington, European leaders and Ukrainian delegation, yes, in January, and Ukraine is ready for peace.
Donald Trump warned that a peace deal may still not happen.
So if it went really well, you know, maybe a few weeks, and if it went poorly longer, and if it went really poorly, it's not going to happen. That would be a shame. There's that chance also. You know, it's possible it doesn't happen. But, you know, in a few weeks, we will know one way or the other, I think. But if it went really well, but it could also go poorly. I mean, you know, we could have something where one item that you're not thinking about is a big item and it breaks it up.
David Smith is Washington Bureau Chief with The Guardian. He's with us now. David, good morning. Thanks for talking to us again.
Hello.
Both leaders said there was progress. What progress was achieved?
That's a good question. I think you need to separate the tone from the substance. The tone was very upbeat and optimistic, Trump describing it as, you know, they're being closer than ever to a peace deal and 95% of the issues resolved, Zelensky making similar noises, and obviously a world away from that terrible showdown in the Oval Office in February when Trump berated Zelensky. However, in terms of actual substance, it remains to be seen what was achieved, because so much depends, of course, on the response of Russian leader Vladimir Putin. He's been very reluctant to make any concessions yet, and we didn't hear from Trump any indication that he's going to force Putin to make concessions. And, you know, for all the optimism, I think the big question here is still land. It's still territory, particularly in the eastern Donbass region. Zelensky talked about a potential referendum that would require a 60-day ceasefire. But Russia's indicated it's not willing to allow that. And Trump even said he understands the Russian point of view. So really, there is a long way to go here. At least there is some positive momentum, but we await Russia's response.
Is it any clearer if Ukraine is going to have to give up land as part of any peace deal?
Compared to several months ago, it does seem clearer that that is now more likely to happen. This latest 20-point proposal seems to acknowledge that. And, Zelensky has made some painful concessions in the name of peace. We've gone from a position where Ukraine insists it must reclaim all territory to a position where there is this proposal of a demilitarized zone, both sides retreating to the lines of contact, and perhaps some kind of international force looking over that zone. But again, so much depends on Putin being willing to accept that, and not much sign of that yet.
Where does the US, where does Trump stand on land now?
He seems to be broadly supportive of this idea of some kind of neutral zone in the Donbass. And he hasn't given much more detail than that. I think the concern remains that so much of his rhetoric, just the atmospherics, are favorable to Russia. And, you know, one point of contrast, when Vladimir Putin came to Alaska earlier this year for talks, a red carpet was literally rolled out for him. And at the press conference, which I attended, Trump was deferential and took no questions. Whereas this weekend, Zelensky had to make his own way from Palm Beach Airport to Mar-a-Lago. And, you know, you still hear Trump talk with this kind of moral equivalence, as if this is a squabble between two countries rather yes. than Russia having invaded Ukraine. And of course, even today, Trump had a long phone conversation with Putin.
You mean, yes, on that, he said he was speaking to President Putin before and after the meeting. Can Ukraine trust the US to be an independent peace broker here?
I think that trust has been sorely tested. I mean, Zelensky certainly said very positive things. He thanked Trump profusely and praised the likes of Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, who've been working on this. But I think Witkoff especially has come in for fierce criticism for, you know, making several trips to Moscow and seemingly parroting Russian talking points and not being very well briefed on the whole situation. And you know, for many years now, Trump has seemed to admire Putin and been very reluctant to criticize him. So it's a very difficult situation for Zelensky. Even at the press conference on Sunday, at one point Trump said, you know, Putin is very positive about the future of Ukraine and might even invest in energy. And Zelensky had to stand there with a straight face and nod. And sometimes it must be quite difficult for him to swallow.
And yet he said, Zelensky, this is, that they were 100% agreed with the US on security guarantees. What are they? And are they enough to deter Russia from attacking Ukraine again?
Well, and when Zelensky said that, Trump interjected and said the security guarantees agreement is 95% there. So almost 100, but not quite. And the main issue there is this notion that Ukraine would have kind of NATO-style guarantees that in the future, if Ukraine was attacked, then the NATO alliance would be obliged to step in and defend it. And again, this is something Putin has previously objected to, along with any idea of Ukraine joining the EU. I mean, I think if that actually was rubber stamped and that really was the deal, then that would be a very strong deterrence. You know, Russia would know that attacking Ukraine is like attacking the UK, for example. But remains to be seen if Trump will follow through on that.
Separately, David, Donald Trump is meeting the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. Why?
Yeah, I mean, Mar-a-Lago now remains the centre of diplomacy. Netanyahu heading there. I think a couple of things. One, they have work to do to mend this relationship. There's been frustration on the US side as Israel has attacked Syria and Qatar, of course, and Iran. And sometimes the US has been frustrated that it didn't know in advance. And Netanyahu will be looking to smooth those feathers. And then secondly, Netanyahu reportedly is wanting a more aggressive stand in Gaza right now following that peace deal. He wants to disarm more Hamas militants before Israeli troops withdraw, and seeking Trump's blessing for that. He's also reportedly even seeking Trump's backing for another military strike on Iran on its missile program. But media reports in the US suggest, you know, many people in the Trump administration are now frustrated at the end of their tether with Netanyahu, and perhaps only Trump himself still has that patience.
David Smith of The Guardian in Washington, thank you for speaking with us. Let's go back to Ukraine and go to Ukraine. Ivana Klimpush-Tsintsadze is a Ukrainian MP and chair of the Committee on Ukraine's Integration into the EU. Good morning and thank you very much for taking our call today.
Good morning.
Did you see any realistic improvements towards an end to the war in what you heard from Miami, and how it will end after this meeting?
I don't think that we are much closer to the end of the war, and I don't think that we should be anticipating that peace is somewhere around the corner, even though we've heard this positive communication. But I would agree with the previous commentator that it's pretty frustrating to hear when President Trump is trying to portray Russia's interest in success of Ukraine as a reality. I think this is totally vice versa when the country is unprovokedly attacking and destroying the whole of Ukraine and trying to erase us from the map of the world. So I do not really think that, that we are seeing the negotiations going to the to real peace settlement.
Both leaders sounded very positive after the meeting. Your own president was very positive. Do you understand why?
No, I don't. And I think that that's also a big question mark because I don't understand what are the American security guarantees for Ukraine or what could they be if we are talking about security guarantees vis-a-vis the Russian Federation, which is one of the most powerful nuclear states. That would mean, I think, the nuclear umbrella of the United States, but I don't think that that's something that Trump is ready to provide for Ukraine. Moreover, to have that legally binding promise and obligation for Ukraine. So I do not really believe that that there is a huge progress. I'd rather think that the progress is in the whole agreement to continue negotiations. And that's basically probably the biggest outcome.
Volodymyr Zelensky talked about a referendum being put to the Ukrainian people on land. Does that mean he's willing to consider losing land as part of an end to this war?
I think that that means that he is not ready to take the responsibility for signing such a settlement. And I think that he wants to then put this responsibility on the Ukrainian society or, as he said, on the Ukrainian parliament. And I don't see the Ukrainian society or the Ukrainian parliament actually agreeing to such a possibility.
How was last night where you are? Because I know there had been several attacks over the weekend.
Well, this particular night was rather quiet in Kyiv here, but the previous night was absolutely horrific. And after that, we have had real serious power outages across the country, but also across the city of Kyiv. Right now, like in my home, for 13 hours in a row, we don't have the electricity, and that means that we are in pretty serious and dire conditions. But at the same time, that's not making us less resolute and not making us more ready to give in to the Russian Federation, and that has to be understood. We do understand that in order to survive, we do have to protect ourselves and be able to defend ourselves.
Ivana Klimpush-Sinsadze, thank you very much for speaking with us again this morning.